There was that moment in eternity past when the great three in one counseled together for the creation of all the heaven and the earth. God, knowing all things and looking ahead in time, foresaw that his creation of mankind would fall prey to sin. God's law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But God made a provision that through the blood sacrifice, there would be remission for man's sin, thus atoning for man's sin and allowing the man to be forgiven. As the angels looked on, the meeting of the great three in one took place. The angels wondered what manner of discussion this was. And as they ponder, they hear the Son of God say without hesitation, "Yes, Father, I will go." On earth every year, every man had to shed the innocent blood of a lamb to atone for that man's sin. Watch as that innocent lamb takes upon himself the guilt and the punishment of man's sin. Watch as the lamb transfers to the man his innocence. You see, this system of sacrifice, it continued for thousands of years. But in eternity, in heaven, time passes very swiftly. The angels of glory watch as Jesus leaves his throne, disrobes himself of his glory to prepare to come and to live upon the earth. The angels wonder, what are these meaning of this event? But Jesus is about to do what's never been done before. Thousands of angels gather around the throne as God beckons them. And God says to the archangel Gabriel, "Go and take this message to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name is Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name is Mary." So Gabriel leaves the throne of glory and he descends to the earth and he finds Mary and he gives her the message found in Luke chapter 1 verse 28. "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. All the angels are once more beckoned to stand before the throne of God. And they hear as God says to the angel of the Lord, "Go and take this message unto Joseph." So the angel of the Lord leaves the splendor of heaven and descends to Joseph with a message found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. "Joseph," he says, "thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now the months pass. The angels are summoned to stand before the throne of God once more. And they hear as God says to the angel of the Lord, "Now go and take this message and with a great host of angels down to a place called Bethlehem and observe the birth of my son Jesus." The angels are shocked. What does this mean? The birth of God's son? The one who had been reigning upon the throne? Excitedly, they leave heaven and they descend to a city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The angels watch as Joseph went unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. The angels are amazed. Here it is born, the Son of God, the King of glory, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Yet no one seems to care. The angels fly back to heaven and they wonder what is happening. God summons the angels once more and he commands the angel of the Lord to take a host of angels and go out to a Judean hillside to a lowly group of shepherds watching over their sheep by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them back to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." That wonderful night, as all of heaven's host watched, the angel stood in amazement. Here was God in the form of man, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. These are the things the angels desire to look into. During his earthly ministry, all that could be said about Jesus was that he went about doing good. God gave charge of the angels to watch him and to observe Jesus. They saw as Jesus healed all manner of sickness. The lame were made to walk. The lepers were made whole again. The blind were made to see. The deaf were caused to hear. And the dumb were made to speak. The angels watched as Jesus cast demons out of men and brought healing in their life. They watched Jesus even raise the dead back to life. They watched Jesus forgive sins. And by the way, he still makes the vilest sinner clean. The devil and the demons, how they hated Jesus. They did everything in their power to hinder Jesus. Yet Jesus lived a sinless, spotless life before man and God his Father. Jesus' ministry was one of love, yet many hated him. The angels were concerned that no harm should come to Jesus, but they could not believe how their prince was treated. They watched as Jesus was often run out of town, as he was ridiculed and rejected. And the angels knew who this man was. This man is Jesus, the Son of God, the King of all glory. And the time came when God allowed the angels to become helpless. He told the angels, "You stand by silently and don't do a thing." And they watched as a bloodthirsty mob led Jesus away one night. They stood there and heard the false accusations that were made. They saw how Jesus was shamefully scourged, how he was slapped about, how he was spit upon and how he was spitefully treated. One angel looked back to God and said, Father, may we go get him and bring him home? But God says, no, this is my will being carried out. At this moment, all of heaven seems as brass. Only silence can be heard or found. The angels stand in amazement. They watch as Jesus is led up Calvary's hill, bloodied and bludgeoned, carrying a cruel cross. They watched as men nailed our Savior to that cross. The angels observed Jesus just submitting his life to suffer upon that cruel cross. The angels stood by and heard as men would scream and yell obscenities at Jesus. The angels tremble as the blood of Jesus is shed upon the cold ground. The angels beg God, please allow us to take Jesus down from that cross and away from this terrible event. But God would not allow them to. The angels watch, and they hear Jesus cry with a loud voice, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They stood silently by and watched Jesus give up the ghost, lay down his life, and succumb to death. Now the angels have their wings lowered. Their hearts are no longer strumming a jubilant tune. Only mere silence can be heard. Their prince, the one they worship so, is gone. And it seems as if he's gone forever. The angels look on with tears in their eyes. Why did Jesus have to die? These are the things the angels desire to look into. At Jesus' death, and over the period of just a few days, the devil thinks he has Jesus bound forever in the grave. The devil and the demons celebrate. The Roman government and the entire world thought surely this was the end of this man by the name of Jesus. But guess what? On that third day, suddenly, a great earthquake, and the angel on assignment from God descends from heaven. The soldiers fall as dead men at the sight of such a powerful being. The angel looks at the tomb and he sees the stone and he knows what must be done. He places his mighty hand upon that stone and rolls the stone away, and he assumes a position sitting on top of the rock. Coming down the path is a group of women. As they approach the tomb, the angel notices their look of sheer astonishment. The women observe the stone has been rolled away and has an angel seated on top of it. The angel stands before the women and he says, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. After the angel spoke these words, he returns home to heaven, and as he enters into heaven with a loud cry, he says, the Lord is risen! He is alive forevermore! The Lord is coming home. Jesus enters glory with his own blood. He ascends to the mercy seat in heaven, and there he sprinkles his blood as the eternal atonement for man's sin. Where once judgment had cried, death, now the blood of Jesus cries out, mercy. Here, as God the Father says, satisfied forever. My wrath is satisfied for all men that will repent. There is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. These are the things the angels desire to look into.
When man sinned,
after presenting his blood on the mercy seat and forever securing the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls, Jesus returns back to this earth with a glorified body. He's seen by his disciples and many others for a period of 40 days. Then from the Mount of Olives, with the disciples looking on, as they spoke, Jesus just ascends before them, before their very eyes, into heaven. Two appear in white apparel, and they say to the disciples, "This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Can you watch as Jesus enters into heaven? As he does, the angels, on bended knee, with folded wing, they honor the arrival of their king. One angel spoke to him and said, "My Lord, what are these wounds? These wounds were not here when you left." Jesus announces to all of heaven, "I have paid the price. For all of mankind's redemption." As the angels heard this great proclamation, they wondered exactly what all this meant. These are the things the angels desire to look into. Jesus assumes his place at the right hand of God the Father. The angels continue as always from eternity past to praise the great three in one. The angels are continually flying around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy." The angels now seem to listen and observe that Jesus is paying attention to someone other than themselves. They notice Jesus speaking often to the Father about what he's heard. They notice frequently that Jesus shows the Father his side, his feet, and his hands. And for some reason, he's continually speaking with the Father about the blood that's on the mercy seat. The angels' praises are interrupted as Jesus calls all the inhabitants of heaven and says, "Rejoice with me. Another whosoever will has just repented of his sins. And I've saved his soul." I pause to think that there was one of those times that he rejoiced over me. The angels watch as all the inhabitants of heaven begin to rejoice greater than ever before. One man proclaims, "Praise the Lord! That whosoever will that just got saved is my son. When I was called home to heaven, my son was still unsaved. I had been praying for him every day when I was taken away, but my Lord is still answering and honoring my prayers, and my son has just been saved. Oh, praise the name of Jesus," he begins to shout. Jesus again calls all the inhabitants of heaven and he says, "Watch as another name is being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life." A lady exclaims, "That name that was just recorded is my husband. Praise the Lord, my husband has just been saved. Soon he's coming home to spend forever with me in heaven." She shouts to a bystander, "Worthy is the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus." You see, all of heaven is constantly rejoicing at the goodness of God. Jesus is constantly listening to the prayer requests of the saints. No wonder the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You see, Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for his people. Every request of prayer is answered for his glory and for our good. You see, friends, It's like that all the time in heaven. The angels are shocked. They stand at attention and they watch and hear people, redeemed people, shout and praise the Lord. And they rejoice in the presence of Christ over sinners being saved. But you see, the angels, they hardly understand why all these events are taking place. These are the things the angels desire to look into. As the great joy continues, one angel notices God the Father tell his son, "Son, it's time. Go bring my children home." Jesus steps forth and the trumpet sounds. Jesus cries with a loud voice, "Come away, my love, arise." All of heaven is now prepared. The streets of glory are completely decorated. Mansions are everywhere. The street is lined with people in anticipation. The time that all of heaven has been preparing for has finally arrived. The graves on earth burst open to victory. Those are alive are raptured home in the twinkling of an eye. And God's children immediately receive a brand new glorified body. Heaven's cry runs to the street and he announces, "They're here! They are here! Now is the time of great reunion. Now is the time that all of heaven has been preparing for." The angels watch intently as a vast number of people from every walk of life, a number that's innumerable, robed in white, come forth, and the crier stops and announces, "This is the Lamb's bride. These are they for whom Jesus died. These are they whose sins are forgiven." I gotta take time out and say, I am in that number, and you are in that number. Oh, blessed be God the Father. Amen. These are the elect of God. These are they for whom Christ's wounds were born. These are the chosen of God. These are they for whom great joy has broken out in heaven. As the angels watch, the greatest event in all of heaven takes place. The wedding between the Son of God, the groom, and the church of God, the bride. This is the wedding that has been prepared for. Such beauty, such splendor. After the wedding, the marriage supper is served. A table is spread. Woo! A table is spread as far as the eye can see. What a moment. After supper's over, everyone gathers around the throne and a chorus breaks out. The song of the redeemed echoes throughout all of heaven. It is a song the angels cannot sing and they must hold silence to. What do these things mean, the angels wonder, as the greatest celebration continues and the angels look on. Finally, one angel looks to another and he stands to his feet, folds back his wings, and he shouts, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Another angel folds back his wings, and he says, "Glory, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy." Another shouts, "Amen and amen." And at once the angelic band and all the great heavenly host, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, break out in a chorus, "He is worthy."